Hello, everyone. Welcome to New Homeschool Episode 8. I'm Mary, sharing real education and real guidance with the new homeschool as a new mom with our president, Sandy Staling.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to New Homeschool
Episode 8.
I'm Mary, sharing.
Sorry, I'm having some. There we go. With our president, Sandy Staling, and Val Vito, Dean of Universal Universities. Today, we should have Santos Bonanucci on. I'll just read a little bit about him. I had sent everything up. I know that he is very busy. I actually think he might be in Italy at the moment, and I'm not sure what the time zone is there. Santos isn't here, is he?
Okay. No.
All right. Well, Santos Bonanucci deals with the subject of synergism, bringing together all fields of knowledge and wisdom, showing the interrelatedness of all things, covering all topics like theology, astrotheology, natural science, astrology, reclaiming dominion, breaking the fictions of religion, science and law, and the holy science, an ancient science based on the workings of the solar system, which is the science of as above, so below. The ruling families created counterfeit philosophical organizations, corporate religions, churches, to replace the three branches of logic, ethics, physics, of philosophy, with dogma and doctrine, fear, superstition, and ignorance. The elite, through the religious, political, monetary, corporate institutions, have been suppressing the true science, religion, that has been given to us by more advanced civilizations like Egypt, Babylon, Persia, India, and Greece. There is so much to learn, really to remember. So much has been lost. We have gotten so far away from anything of a real benefit. We are all free beings of real light and learning to recognize the mechanics in creation with an understanding of all the different dimensions, the life levels, and learning the new real references that are shared with the new presentation will assist in a much deeper understanding of what you're really doing here. In comparing what's real to what isn't real, while dropping your ideas, attitudes, and beliefs that you've been conditioned, indoctrinated with here, you too will have the opportunity in perceiving more and recognizing the true reality life is. We are sharing what makes sense with real references of this world and beyond, so you too can recognize more than you ever have now. Hi, is Santos there? Right. Well, I'm really hoping that he shows up. But in the meantime, if he doesn't, I have a little excerpt from Dwayne. Although I can't find it at the moment, of course not.
Well, you know, while we're waiting, I think we have a bunch of guests on, other guests that are listening, and I'm kind of new to this too. One of the topics that Santos covers is astrotheology. Is there anybody on that can tell us anything about what in the world astral theology is? Anybody?
Never even heard of that term, Bob.
I haven't either. Sandy hasn't heard of it. But I suppose it has something to do with what they perceive as the religion of people that are in outer space, you know, like in astronomy out in different star systems. So
it's something like that. It's just about the solar system and astrology. So it's about how the planets move, and it also correlates to the Bible. And he really breaks it down. I mean, he teaches, like, everything, so there's a ton of information, but he even breaks it down into, like, the prefixes of words and basically how creation is, you know, literal creation is built and what it is built on.
Well, I can add something very interesting that probably not the average person knows. Is the ancient Israelites had 12 tribes. You know, if anybody knows the history of the Bible, the Old Testament, you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, interestingly, had 12 sons. And each one of the sons was named for the 12 signs of the zodiac. And when it comes to astrology, the cross, you know, which, you know, symbolizes, well, there's a lot of symbols for it, but in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and the Israelites or the Hebrews or whatever you want to call them, the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes, when they were camping out in the desert, actually camped out exactly the way the zodiac is laid out in the star systems. So you would have four groups of three different tribes camping all in order, exactly matching the 12 major signs of the zodiac, and each one of the tribes had a stone, a precious stone assigned to them based on the 12 signs of the zodiac. So when you talk about astro theology, at least the Israelites were hip on it, you know, and they actually observed a lot of that. And that's right, like you said, it's right in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of what he does. He's taking the ancient history that we have lost, that we basically have forgotten, and reteaching it, I want to say, as best as he can, for the ability of all of us here. I mean, he really breaks down, you know, the Christ within and your chakras and, you know, even down to, like, holidays and to the stories about Little Red Riding Hood and all the fables, like the princesses, Cinderella, and everything like that, and really the symbolism behind everything. And then he, you know, the synergism of all of it, because it's all, you know, interconnected and related. He does understand the life levels, the lower levels, you know, beyond here, you know, that aren't very heavenish. They're, you know, they're the lower levels. And he does see...
You mean like the astrophysical plane and all that, right?
No, so below. So, like, we're like the vampires and the werewolves, like Dwayne is talking about it. So, you know, if you want to, just depending on your attitudes here and how you function in this world, I mean, you can either rise or you can go lower. Like, this isn't the lowest plane that you can be on, although this is not a very high plane to be on either. There's a lot of terrible things that happen here. So you can go lower than here is the idea. There's more levels and they are below us, just as there's more levels in there above us. But that was actually one of the questions that I was going to have for him, because someone asked that question to him, you know, where can you go after you leave this body? And he goes into it, and then he goes into the levels and how he perceives them and, you know,
well,
even
you know,
what their name.
Well, you know, my understanding is, you know, from Dwayne, is we have five bodies. You know, we have the physical body, astral causal, mental body, etheric body, and so forth. And that when we give up, when we translate from the physical, we step into the next higher body that survives. So human beings will generally, you know, translate into the astral plane, or, you know, maybe under special circumstances, they might get to make it to the causal or even the mental plane, and leaving their lower bodies behind. But, you know, that's just human. So are you bringing up the idea that other entities out there may have other bodies other than the five planes related to human beings, that there's other planes that are actually lower than the physical that we're not aware of?
Yeah, so we're carrying five bodies here with our physical body in this physical creation. I mean, you can drop these bodies as you can. If you get past, you know, the seventh level, you know, what Dwayne terms as the seventh level, or past the deep dark border into the seventh level, you're now in the real universe. You're not carrying any of these bodies with you. So,
well, correct. That's going up. I'm fully aware of that. But this is the first time I ever heard mention that there's planes lower than the physical. So could you go into some detail on that? I never heard that before.
Well, Dwayne does talk about it in the books, like where the vampires and the werewolves are. I don't know if you read that one. I forget which one it is, if it's in, you know, 2 and 6 or 4 or book 6. I can't remember which one it's in.
Well, I've read all his...
Lower.
Well, I've read all the 9 of his adventures with Rebizar. I've read all 9 of those, and I don't recall anything lower than the physical. I know there's definitely a lot of activity on the lower astral plane, you know, but I didn't know. Maybe, do you know of anything? Is Claudia on by any chance? Well, anyway, I read where Dwayne talked about a lot of entities winding up in the lowest possible parts of the astral plane, but that's still higher than the physical plane. It's a higher frequency than the physical.
Yeah, Kelsey or Henry or anyone that can speak to it, that'd be cool.
Okay, this is Henry. I see that everything you can imagine is possible in creation. So there can be worse places than this, and they can be, you know, they can be in the physical in different dimensions, or they can be, the lower astral can be far more awful than what we're experiencing here now, or you can see that the people who are controlling the earth are at a very, you know, they're very of a very low vibration, and they're kind of more astral than physical, feeding off our emotions here, or the emotions of humans. So yeah, it's like everything you can imagine is possible. So there's obviously going to be worse than here. There's going to be better than here in creation. But what really makes sense is things like purity, sincerity, and gratitude in the real universes. And so we can see through all the positive and negative, the cause and effect of creation, to the real universes, which do make sense with the whole of life.
And that's what's really fun about what we're presenting at the end of the day is, you know, everything is new now, and we all have the opportunity to move beyond creation. So mostly everything that's taught here, like with David Icke and John Wilcox, again, I don't know how far Santos goes. That was definitely one of my questions to him on, you know, where is he going when he leaves, or what's his idea? But mostly everything here and everything that's talked about here is only talked about in the world of creation, as if there aren't bigger, better universes that, you know, we're all looking for to move beyond. And anyone can utilize all the information here in creation, because a lot of the standard education that we're all brought up in doesn't talk about much of anything. It's just very literal. There's no esoteric knowledge. And if there is any type of religion talk, it's literal. It's a literal talk about the Bible and what people think is happening in it, and it's really not bringing anyone anywhere. So you can pay attention to your real side, which your real side visions, an old term would be called dreams. You can sing the new sound, and you can become aware while utilizing the information that's in here and paying attention to your real side, because you don't have to wait until you're passed out of this body, until you move from this body, to understand and utilize the real universes and your real awareness. Does anybody have anything to say on that?
Yeah, this is Dean Bell, and Dwayne, the great writer, has often related to us and talked about passing over, and it's very interesting the way he describes it, and it's not the traditional, what I thought was traditional, well, you go to some heaven, nice place in heaven, and you're greeted by your friends or family or your guides, and or an angel, and then you're taken to some place to be processed, or to enjoy, to rest. I mean, there's that. There's nothing's negated, so there is that, but he is really focused on the is and being now. So this way he presents it, it's very delicate almost, that you can be drawn back into the physical for more lifetimes and reincarnations just by a little, like a thought or like an attachment or something that is of a physical nature or emotional nature or just an idea or anything like that. So he stresses, being now and being, like Henry said, purity, sincerity, honorability, and having an intent. So when you get over to the other side, if you don't have an intent, a clear intent, then you're not going to be as able to navigate. And we've had people that, like Claudie was mentioned, well, she's been over and seen some of the people have passed over, and they were disoriented, you could say. They didn't know where they were because they had these convinced ideas that beliefs, you can almost say, about certain things. And over on the other side, it's not that. It's not so. You're more. It's more real, and it's not just your beliefs, what you believe in. It's what is. So she's had experience with these people, and they are, in a way, lost. I mean, they're more susceptible to other people's influences. So here in the physical, we have an opportunity to get ready to go to the other side, and basically we're preparing for that. And that's all about just being now. And once you're over there, then it's the way he describes it. It's almost, in a way, it's more difficult because here you have all your bodies together, and you have an opportunity, a greater opportunity, to see through the whole of it. The whole of the five bodies. And there, you lose your physical, so you're. You don't have that anchor point of the physical part of yourself. So you have, if you're in your astral body or whatever, then, it's a huge area. It's a huge, huge. Physical is huge, but astral is, there's so much going on in the psychic realms that you could get swept away real easy. So he talks about having that clear intent, and prepare you to pass over, and then you'll be in better shape, and then you can really work with be with the guides, because you're supporting them by doing that. If the intent is of a benefit for everybody, you're supporting the real guides, and then they'll support you. And it's another way of saying you're supporting life, or the is, we call it the all is, and then the is will support you. So it all works together. And it's, I've heard the word delicate. It's almost a delicate process. It's not, it's not like desire or, you know, go get the goal or beliefs. It's very clean, and it's very pure and very real. That's why people don't see it, because it's so real. It's so real. It's almost scary for people to have this, come upon them, or to perceive it or see it. So they don't want to go there. They like to go back into their comfort zone of beliefs or, whatever is they deem as safe and secure, comfortable area. Basically the social consciousness. So this is a risk taker position, and we're having fun with it, with the adventure of it all, and appreciate your show, guys, Sandy and Mary.
I have an interesting comment to add to all that. When I was searching for all the answers, I came across some writings by people that were raised in the Shakyamuni Lamasery over in Tibet as lamas. And this one particular one that I read it, all 22 of his books, I was so fascinated by it. Rapa, I mentioned his name in other talks. And one of Rapa's favorite things to do is he was specially gifted, and he could travel into the higher worlds at will. And one of his favorite pastimes was to go over on the astral or causal plane and watch people as they translated and came over, and they were wondering, where are we, and that type of thing. But one of the things that he mentioned, and this really, this was one of my first awakenings. I thought those Tibetans just sat over there and crossed their legs and sat on a cushy cushion and meditated all day long and had no idea what the rest of the world was doing. And when I found out that one of the things that they did over there is some of the higher lamas, the ones that were especially gifted and could travel to the other, freely travel to the different planes, they provided a service for humanity. And I was really surprised that they even did that, this even existed. And what they did was they would have maybe a half a dozen or a dozen of these lamas. They'd go down in a cave and light a fire, and they'd have their crystal foot in diameter of pure crystal, and they would sit around. And what they would do is they had these musical instruments, like they had drums, and what they would do is they would beat their drums, and they would chant, and they would make sounds that exactly imitated the human body. It's like the heart beating, and they'd make noises that sounded like the lungs breathing, And the reason they did this, and then they would chant, "All those who are lost, come to us, and we will guide you on your way." And that's what they would chant. And what Rampa said is, and I thought this was very interesting, applies for everybody today, says, Rampa made the interesting comment, he says, when you pass over, whatever you believe is going to be what happens to you when you pass over. I mean, if you, and for example, if you're a big believer in Jesus, the first thing you're going to see when you pass over is Jesus. If you believe in Buddha, the first guy you're going to see when you pass over is Buddha. But he said the problem areas are the people that belong to these organizations, or they're unbelievers. They're members, but they don't believe in anything. And those are the ones that these lamas were providing a service for, because he said that if you pass over and don't believe in anything or don't know what to believe, you wind up in a black, inky, gooey situation, and there's nobody around you, there's no light, you're like in a dark zone, and you could be there for eternity. You're just completely, totally lost. And And what these llamas would do is they would make the sounds of a human being, a human body breathing and existing. But when, you know, like when you pass over, you don't have your human body anymore. You don't hear those sounds. But when they would replicate the sound, these guys that were in this black, inky, gooey Never Never Land, they could hear that sound, and then they would hear the llamas chanting, you know, those who are lost, come to us and we will guide you. And they would get many people that would hear that, and they'd come to these guides in their astral form or whatever it was, and then they'd say, okay, all right, you've come to us. Now we'll tell you what to do. We'll take you to the Lords of Karma, and they will take care of you, and then you go through your reincarnation process. So it was the service to get them out of that black, inky Never Never Land. So I thought that was very interesting. It ties in with what you're saying, Val. You know, I mean, you know, it's so true. It's you have to have intent and you have to have a plan before you cross over, or you're gonna wind up like some of the people that we know that passed over that are just totally lost or looking around, well, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? You know, and they wind up in some dark corner somewhere and they're clueless, and sometimes, you know, instead of meeting the people they want to meet, they're met with reptilian guides and who knows what else they're met with. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. To me, that was, you know, like, you know, back, you know, 20 years ago when I found that information out, but it was one step of me learning to get where I am today, you know, with Dwayne and the real guides. So anyway, any comments on that?
About people that have passed on, and a lot of times they don't even know that they've dropped a physical body. So it's kind of telling that it's similar in a lot of ways. Excuse me if there's noise and I'm driving, but it's like where your attention is and where you bring your awareness with you, even if you drop your physical. You still have your awareness, and that's what we're encouraging people to look at, their awareness rather than beliefs or their ideas about things or considerations. Awareness supersedes everything. So your awareness, I wouldn't say you take it with you. That's what you are. So no matter where you are, what body you are, it's your awareness that it counts. So, yeah, and it reminds me of the Michael Newton. If anybody's familiar with his books, he talks about, he's a psychotherapist, and he took people back to in between lives and what happens in between reincarnations. He used to work up in Grass Valley in California. He wrote a couple books, Journey of Soul and Destiny of Soul, and that's the traditional, again, that's a traditional way of looking at where you're met. You go through the tunnel maybe of light, and you're met with your guides or friends or somebody that cares for you and takes you and gives you an orientation, you know, to your new, and then you're taken to other usually he calls it soul groups, where you reincarnated with these people before, and they welcome you home. They have a party. Maybe you like the Roman era, so they have a Roman theme and baths and wine, and you know, they mock up this situation, this environment where you're comfortable, and they welcome you back, and then you have time to reflect, and then you start working with some higher guides and who kind of counsel you and go over your past lifetime, and then you get prepared for your next lifetime. This is kind of one of the traditional ways of looking at it. Now, if you're a Buddhist or something, or from another religion, you know, we may have different scenarios, but this is kind of from a Western point of view. And but these are all traditional. Now, things have changed, though. Things have really changed with, since Dwayne has come in and his new view, the new wave is. So life moves on. I don't know if you can say it evolves, but it becomes, you know, more aware in its own way. So even on the real side, things change or things get moved around or different, you know, position differently. So what Dwayne has brought in is completely new, and these things are cool. Nothing, again, nothing's negated, but he's really focused on the now. And this is a new step, a new level for people. It's not the old spiritual ideas and religious ideas. You can travel around, soul travel, and visit these wonderful places and all that. You just like here in the physical, you can go to Paris or Greenland or wherever you want. Just in the astral too, you can, if you know they exist, you can go there. But this is quite unique and different. It's not a place, and it's not anywhere you go to. So it's an isness, a nowness, and that's the trick, is to get through your ideas about places or goals. You know, I want to be this. I want to go there. I want to experience that. These are all fine, but isness is just is. And it's hard to relate to people in a way, because they're not accustomed to it through all the lifetimes. They're not accustomed to this kind of a view of it. So that's our challenge with this group, is to help, you know, assist people to see see it from a different viewpoint. And yeah, you can use your imagination to start with as a tool. And you can use other techniques, and the new you, of course, is a way to connect with this reality. And then you have to be rather, you know, creative about it, and to really take the risk and go beyond what you normally are used to. So that's why we're doing these shows, and the part of the New School Homeschool and the Nations United Universal University, we're educating people to with a real purpose, real education, real guidance. So thank you.
That was awesome, Val. Thanks for being here. You don't happen to have any, like, personal experiences that you want to share, like relating to your real awareness and or the real universes, or basically anything that you've learned this far on how to be now and how to connect to more than what's in creation?
Well, for me personally, I've been married a few times. I have four kids. I've raised kids. I've been with one of my kids I took a long hike from Mexico to Canada with four years ago on the Pacific Crest Trail. I spent some time with him. We each have our relationship with each of my kids. I have a relation, you know, special, unique relationship with, and that's been awesome. The family thing I've gone through. So traditionally I've done I've had a job and gone to school. So traditionally I've done the traditional things, but I've always been, since junior high, I've been like a seeker. And then I got into a few spiritual paths. And then when, in my 20s, I found the corporation or Ekankar, and I was in there for 40 years. And that was just kind of like a holding position. I mean, I learned a lot. I learned about the real guides and all, but it was like a holding position to where when Dwayne came in, then I had the, you know, that was the start of something wonderful, really. It was totally different than anything else before. And I was never the sort to, you know, I never did a lot. I wasn't was a thinker, like, you know, I just went along with things. I didn't overthink things. So in a way that was good. It was a good position for me because I see a lot of people that overthink things, the intellectuals, and they have a lot of trouble seeing what this is about. So in that respect, I was, I just went along or saw things as they were as best I could. And I had, you know, my challenges with different emotional things, the fears. And I saw, yeah, one thing with the fear was like, I stepped out of that because it was of no benefit anymore. And I was leaning on it for some reason. But with this, taking the risk, there's really no fear involved because your life will just hold you up and, you know, there's no place that you can like fall or go because, and the fear that the personal self has, well, there's all kinds of trouble you can get into with that. But this, in a way, it's a secure position or, you know, there's no place else to go, but the realness of it all, you know what I'm talking about. It just kind of, you just let yourself be with it and take the risk and Dwayne talks about a lot of times he's been on the real side and he's just been on a cliff and he just dives, you know, takes the risk and dives or jumps, you know, because you're going to be okay. Because if you have the intent, I mean, if your intent is not of a benefit for you know, the whole, then you may be in trouble in your own way, but otherwise you'll be fine. You just go with what life presents to you, and it will show you, you know, every moment it shows you, it gives you the opportunity to see more, so it's kind of neat. And I've just been in a way waiting for this. You can see through my whole life, and when it came in, I just was right. I saw it right away. Well, actually, the second day. It took me a day, but the second day, after I sang the new you, I woke up and it was. I saw the shift, and it was real, and I knew this was the way to go. So, it's. I'm sure if that answered your question, but try.
No, that was great, Val. I mean, it's very hard to explain. It's really something that you want to experience for yourself. We all have lived tons of lives here and on other dimensions. Creation is huge. We have gained a lot of experience, and a lot of us new people recognize a lot of the preparation that we've had up to this point to really share what it is that we're sharing and basically had been looking for it until we could, you know, experience here, till we finally made sense of something, because nothing here makes any sense. And, you know, these things have been talked about time and time again about who knows, whatever things that you get caught up in with families, or how the reincarnation karma cycle, how it's necessary. And, I mean, maybe it was necessary for some time, but unfortunately all the worlds in creation are filled with controllers and rulers. And we're so indoctrinated and so lost that most people can't even recognize that it doesn't make sense. People are so attached to having someone think and provide for them that it's very, very hard to have another concept or to think outside of the box or even to give yourself the opportunity to experience something beyond what it is that you've known for all the lifetime. So, again, it's really just about experiencing it for yourself, and you can do that just by singing the new song and learning to just drop the behaviors and the ideas and the attitudes that you have. And we're all in the same life. We're all, you know, free beings of real light. There's a lot of fake light here. That's a lot that's talked about, too, when you pass over to the astral realm. You know, in hypnosis, there's a lot that's spoken about when you have a being and they go in hypnosis. And you've seen I've seen doctors talk with these beings. And depending on how aware these beings are will depend on what it is they speak of and actually, like, if they're going into the light, which is usually the fake light. There's a fake light that you can enter when you pass from here, and you can go into this light and you can meet your family and basically feel comfortable and content with what you're doing. Or you could take the risk and move beyond that and move beyond the reincarnation karma cycle right here, right now, while singing the new you and just learning to become more aware of what is this place with controllers and rulers and having to work with all the made up nonsense here, including money and the businesses. And I mean, it's just, none of it makes sense. It doesn't make sense that when you go to a beach, for example, this is just one example of what doesn't make sense, but on the beachfront are multi-million dollar, you know, hotels, and they're all entrapped inside. Most of the time you can't even open the window. But anyways, they build all these, you know, big uppity-up buildings, and they charge tons and tons of money for you to have, like, an oceanfront view of the beach, especially during the summer. So, I mean, when you really open your eyes to everything, you notice that everything here is just for business and for money, and really none of them are important. They aren't, you know, the reality of the all is of life. I mean, life exists right now in front of you, and the best way to recognize that is the sun shining or the trees and the animals, the environment that sustains us, which is, you know, being ruined by all this business and things that everyone's agreeing to as they believe that this is the way to be. It's the way to live. It's, you know, you're always chasing something here to have more success and basically money. But it just brings you back to the reincarnation karma cycle if you don't become more aware. So, you know, what we're doing is just, you know, recognizing ourselves and our place here and doing something real for the environment and sharing it with everyone that we can and who we can come in contact with. So even if it's not something you're into, if you just share this around, there are other new people out there that are just waiting to recognize what it is that they're doing here too. I don't know if anybody has anything to add to that. Unfortunately, it looks like Santos is not coming, obviously. You know, I guess I'll let everybody know when I hear from him. So that's that.
Well, Mary, I could add, you know, I'd like to say something. You know, there's the reptilians, you know, that are, you know, they're one of the biggest problems on this planet, trying to direct everything and tell us what we need to believe and all that sort of thing. One of the biggest things that leads people astray is the savior mentality. You know, in the Christian and Jewish religions, they have a savior, so it doesn't really matter. As long as you believe in the savior, you're gonna be saved. If you're in the corporation, you know, the Ekankar Corporation, you're going to be saved by the Mahanta. Well, you know, it's just absolute nonsense. absolute nonsense. It's like Val was saying, it's all about awareness. And there was a book, I don't know if everybody's familiar with it, but I'm sure there's people that never heard of it. Years ago, when Rebazar was working with Paul Twitchell over in Tibet, he did a lot of things, and they wrote a book called Stranger by the River. And it was authored by Paul Twitchell, and I would recommend everybody reread it, even though it's not the current thing that Dwayne's writing. I thought it might be interesting to reread it myself, and I'm on the last chapter. And last night, I was reading where Rebazar was telling Paul, you know, in the early days, that don't strive for God, don't not strive for God. You know, don't try to figure it out. Just let things be. You know, don't work for your salvation. Let the salvation work for you. And just stop thinking. Just stop trying to figure things. As soon as you stop trying to figure everything out, then everything will fall into place. Well, after reading that last chapter, or near second to the last chapter last night in the book, I went to sleep right after doing the new you, and I spent the entire night in a white glowing light, absolute calm, perfect peace. There was not a thought, not a sound, no motion. The creation was not there. It was just a pure white light, like the sun shining, and it was the most peaceful night I've ever had in my entire life, and that was last night. And it was after reading, you know, toward the end of Stranger by the River. So anybody that's never read that, I would highly recommend that they get a copy of it and reread it, you know, because there's, you know, Rebazar has a lot of insight in that book. I know things are a little bit different, you know, now than it was back then, but the same premise of that the Rebazar has been teaching from day one is in there. So I highly encourage everybody to reread that. And Mary, somebody else wanted to add something?
I just wanted to ask you, what is the book?
It's called Stranger by the River.
And that is what, from Ekankar?
Well, it was probably at the beginning of Ekankar. And it was written by Paul Twitchell. It's quoted by Rebazar.
Okay. Great.
And we, you know, so try to get an old copy. You know, you might not want to get one from the Ekankar Corporation if it's been edited by Gerald, because they might have changed some of the information. You probably want to get an original copy if you can find one.
Yeah, I mean, I think all these things are important. I think as a new mom, with the new homeschool, there's a lack of knowledge and information about, you know, who we are and what we're really doing here. And if you don't know what you're doing here, it's a great idea to sing the new you and read some new books, because none of us are here to just continue a cycle and be slaves for other people. We're really free beings, and we're free beings of real light. And you don't have to continue doing what you're doing. And unfortunately, if we're not reading, you know, Stranger by the River or new books or learning the real symbolism of, you know, the Bible or astrology, for example, like, you know, real knowledge that exists here that isn't, you know, giving your power away to some kind of master or guru, that's a lot of what Santo says. Again, even with all this information, you always have to come back to that everything is right now. So everything is old and outdated. It's just, if you're not teaching anything of a real benefit to children or in schools in general, then we just continue in the cycle of thinking that, you know, making money and getting a job is all there is and being successful as you can. And then just not remembering coming back here. And because Dwayne's such a risk taker and everything that he decided to go through and really step up, you know, he got to share what it's like, you know, even coming down from the life levels into this, you know, into the person that he is today and kind of how all that works. So you can, we can all become so aware and move into the real universes so that if we do decide to go anywhere, at least we will recognize that we were here before and we'll be able to do stuff a little bit different. It's just, that's another topic that I always like to bring up is if you don't recognize what's going on here and that there are people in control who really don't care about the environment or the people on it, it's all for power and greed, and they enjoy, they actually feed off of the life that we are and off of the emotions that we have, and these are the rulers of this world. And they very much enjoy seeing people suffer. They don't care about the environment, which brings me to vaccines. Unfortunately, even the brightest doctors and nurses and, you know, the scientists in the medical field aren't taught about the history. I mean, they're aware that we forget that we've come here before. And we are not aware that we've actually lived in a lot of these times where, you know, we did live through the plague or whatever, the huge measles outbreak, and we forget our history, and then our history is not told to us or repeated back to us in a helpful manner. There's many, many things that are left out. And unfortunately, the children are being overly poisoned with toxins, and people are so, you know, brainwashed and really cannot get past their human self. They can't even recognize that this is just, like, you're not even here. You're just passing through, that this is just a small part of who you are and what you're experiencing. Again, because that's not taught. You're not taught that, you know, you're a free being, that you're light and sound here existing in the physical body for experience. You know, it's taught the other way around, that you're going to leave and be the light, but you already are the light, and it's not being taught. So then there's a huge disconnect from understanding, you know, what's really good for you, and then also a huge connect within the history that you're learning because you forget it. And people don't recognize that, you know, at one time when we were living, we didn't have running toilets. We didn't have running water. Doctors didn't wear gloves. There were zero sanitation processes. And the spread of disease was very, very fast. It you know, you didn't, there was no prevention of the spread of disease. I mean, now you wear gloves. There's sterile procedures. You have rooms that cut you off. You wear certain PPE. You know, there's just a lot of things that we're aware of these days. And with the advancements that we have, there's no reason really why we can't contain, you know, certain, they claim there's certain breakouts that are happening, that we couldn't contain these things. And instead, people really believe that if we continue to have more vaccines for the children, then we'll be better off as a society. And they're, you know, because of these, you know, these systems that are set up, which don't let you think independently, they're based on, you know, the books that the elites have written, the information that the elites have written, and the history that they've decided to forget and give to you. And now, you know, you're here, you're a doctor, and you have this information, and it's very hard to get past the idea that you're wrong. Because, you know, the elites and the government, they stand strong on your side with the information that you have, but you really don't need to be very bright to recognize that, you know, I only had 7 vaccines my whole life, and now these children are having 72, and that is continuing to climb. And there are people out there that really believe that they would rather have an autistic child than a healthy child. So we can avoid both. We can avoid disease, and we can avoid autistic children or children who don't live at all or have, you know, damage to their organs. We can avoid all of that with the advancements that we have, which is the sanitation process, and, like, you know, washing your hands is the biggest prevention of disease today. So, I mean, it's just another reason why you should become more aware, because we really don't want to wait until, you know, we don't want to wait until the water is completely plastic. We don't want to wait until we don't have any trees and they're all the buildings on the beaches for us. And, you know, you don't want to wait until you can't drink water or you have to wear a mask outside to breathe, or that every child that is born is autistic. And now, instead of having regular population in schools, it's all for, you know, all of these children need extra help. And then these children have families. And, you know, if your neurological defenses or, you know, aren't up to par and you can't really think straight, I mean, what kind of future is that for anyone? And we're just really not heading in the right direction. So dropping your ideas of and what you think you know here or what this place is a great way to start and start recognizing what's going on so we can all work together. And that's what we're doing. We're sharing something that makes sense, and we'd like to work together with other people. And if anybody has anything to add, that's fine.
Well, Mary, that was a terrific explanation. And there's two things that I think that people need to understand. There's two things that are taking place, and as soon as people start thinking about this or becoming aware of it, one of the things is what is called a false flag operation. For anybody that's not familiar with a false flag operation, a false flag operation is a specialty of the reptilians and governments, and what they do is they create a situation that is usually very hazardous and very dangerous, and then they're Johnny on the spot to come up with a cure and solution. For example, they may spray a very toxic chemical in the atmosphere, people get sick, and they say, oh, come to us. We have the cure for that. Come to us, and we will fix it for you. And we're so wonderful because we're fixing the problem. With children, they poison them with all sorts of, you know, the fluoride in the, like in the toothpaste. By the way, there was a report a few weeks ago that came out. The American Dental Association declared that kids are using 10 times as much toothpaste brushing their little baby teeth. The parents need to know about. They're getting fluoride toxicity, and it's causing an epidemic of problems in children. You know, that was, you know, but the fluoride out there was supposed to fix the problem of having cavities. Well, you know, countries where they don't, you know, where they don't have fluoride in the water and the toothpaste have fewer cavities than Americans do, where they have the solution. So they give kids food that destroys or rots their teeth and say, you got to have fluoride to fix your teeth. And the fluoride makes you brain dead. It's just what they used in the German prison camps to dumb the prisoners down and make them zombies. That's what fluoride does to you. And they put it in all our drinking water saying, hey, this will get rid of all the germs in the drinking water. Well, it gets rid of all your brain cells here. So you become a dumb idiot and you can't even think for yourself. That's what fluoride does for you. And these are false flag operations. They come up with a solution that's, in many cases, more harmful than the problem they created in the first place. So you have to learn, you have to be able to see through these false flag operations. And the way you see through these false flag operations is you ask the question, and Dwayne has pointed this out many times, does it make sense? And you hit it right on the head, Mary. Does it make sense? Why are we taking all? Why do we have to have our kids have to take all these vaccinations? It doesn't make sense. It's not natural. Why? What's going on? What's behind all this? So that's the two things: false flag And does it make sense?
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. But the problem that I run into constantly is people have their, like I said, so the government is on the side and it's a biased information that's being put out there, and there's so much disinformation, and then there's a lack of information that should be given to everyone, because that is, you know, what science is making an informed, educated decision based on all sources. And unfortunately, there is only one source, and most people aren't really thinking about it. And they're not, I mean, there's formaldehyde in vaccines, there's aluminum, there's polysorbate 80. I mean, you name it, and it's in a vaccine, and then they have their reasons for why it would be in there, but there really is no reason to continue to increase the vaccines that children get, because if you look around, like you, Sandy, Dwayne, I mean, Kelsey, all of us, right, we're still living without 72 vaccines, so, and there hasn't been an outbreak of disease. You know, and as these keep climbing, people are really paying attention, so they're not getting any at all. And then there's no protocol. So what we're missing in the health field is that now there's no protocols for prevention. You know, like when Ebola breaks out, there's a whole, you know, we have a whole protocol for if Ebola comes into the hospital, or, you know, have you traveled out? Like, these are questions that are asked. But there are no questions that are asked when you come into the emergency room about vaccines. And some people would beg to differ that they are, you know, definitely reporting these incidents to theirs, but you can't possibly report something that you're not checking for. So, yes, when you go into an emergency room and your child's not breathing, one of the first things they're going to do is rule out any disease. They're not – one of their – and their question about vaccines is just that, to rule out disease, not to see if maybe the vaccine is causing, you know, the child not to breathe right now, or the fact that the child has slept for 12 hours. These questions aren't even in play. That is a problem. There is a crisis happening here, and people want to ignore it. And the reason why it's so easily ignored is because doctors are losing their jobs. They're also being murdered. Nurses are being ostracized, and, you know, the rest of the people that are pro, you know, I don't know, 172 vaccines want to stay right with their ego minds about, you know, what is happening. And again, the system is on their side, so they feel entitled to downsize the information that's been given to doctors who have left the medical field in general, because they see what's wrong. And, you know, treating other nurses unequally because of their viewpoint on what's happening. So, I mean, it's really a conundrum, and it's very unfortunate, because in California they're mandating it, and the next thing they're going to do, I was actually looking through the laws, and if anybody doesn't know this, Pennsylvania right now might be the only state that you can get an exemption in. I live here. I don't know what that means exactly, why Pennsylvania is maybe we're not talking about it enough, or nobody cares enough, or, you know, there aren't multiple people not getting vaccines yet, because they just passed the law in Washington where apparently they had an apparent outbreak of measles, and there's a certain group of individuals who were all living together who were vaccine-free, who most likely live on, like, a farm together, and they, you know, they don't do the vaccine thing, and they eat healthy, and apparently there was some kind of outbreak. And now they have passed the law that these there's not allowed to be exemptions any longer. And guess what? Nobody has a say, even with the information that's being handed to them that, you know, you can't enforce and take, you know, away rights of people. But anyways, Pennsylvania is one of the only places at the moment that you can get an exemption. And as we continue this, again, it's always going to be on the government side. So unless people really start to recognize that you don't need 72 doses and more of a poison in your body, they're going to take the rights away from everyone. I mean, you know, they talk about Agenda 2021 and all these agendas that everybody has, but you're missing one huge piece is that your rights are already being taken away and you're not allowed to choose. So you're just going to have a whole population of poisoned people. It's literally like walking into the fire way back when we had the concentration camps where we were lined up to go in the fire. I mean, we're lined up at doctor's offices and we're being injected. It's almost just the same. And people can't recognize it.
Do kids that are homeschooled have to get all the vaccinations?
Well, that's the whole thing in California. There's so many homeschools happening right now, so they don't have to send it. So right now, from my knowledge, obviously not. That's why there's so many homeschools. But they're going to, you know, they're going to head down that route. I mean, they're knocking on people's doors to get your vaccines. Like, if you haven't had it, you're in this system, and if they see that your child hasn't had it, they're knocking on your door to give it to your child. So, I mean, eventually they're going to make laws for that. I know here in Pennsylvania, the laws, they still want you to get vaccines, actually. They have, like, a paper. When you're 8 years old in the state of Pennsylvania, you have to start handing a certain amount of hours in, and you have to hand in their, you know, their vaccine lists and, you know, these such. But there's parents that I have talked to that they just don't do that. Like, they just put the exemption in. But, again, there aren't many places with exemptions, so they're not going to be able to even exempt their children. That's the way that they're going. So even if you homeschool, you're still not going to be able to be exempt.
Well, I know, like, in Illinois, when I was there, you couldn't even go to kindergarten or first grade without getting your first bunch of shots, you know. They wouldn't even let you in the public school system. And that
put
a burden on people. Pardon me?
That's what they're fighting for in Washington, the civil right. It's a civil right for kids to go to school. And I don't know if they're going to win, but that's what they're doing. A woman whose child is basically brain dead recognized what was happening, and there's a whole slew of parents against vaccines, you know, fighting for children to still be able to go to school even if they don't have vaccines. But there's so many parents out here that believe that children that aren't vaccinated to stay away from their vaccinated kids, which, again, is like, where do they get their information? It's such false information. If a child doesn't have disease, they can't give it to you. And vaccines, they shed. So if we're really, like, since when is it normal not to pay attention to the science that is there? If vaccines shed, why isn't there a protocol for when these children who do get vaccinated have to stay home for 2 weeks instead of going to school and shedding the virus around? You know, that it just, none of it makes any sense. And then saying don't hang out with unvaccinated children because they might give you a disease. Well, they can't give you a disease that they don't have, but they can certainly pick up the disease from your vaccinated child who is now shedding the measles. And now they have some kind of outbreak of the measles, but it's not showing up in your vaccinated child because they just received a vaccination that, you know, agitated an immune response in their body, and they may not show up with the hives. That doesn't mean that they didn't have a breakout of some sort. They just didn't show up with it. And the unvaccinated kid will show up with it, and most, you know, will survive. It's not life or death usually, but that's the whole thing, is people don't even know how to treat the measles anymore because that's not what they're teaching. Like, it's not Ebola, and we don't even have a vaccine for Ebola.
Well, you know, if it wasn't Ebola, the government would try to come up with some other virus to kill people. You know, Ebola is not really a natural thing. A lot of these diseases and viruses and all these mosquito flus and all this stuff, they are manufactured in laboratories by our government, you know, or some other government. And if you say it was done by a terrorist organization, guess who's financing the terrorists? You know, tell me what the income of the average the average person living just outside an oasis in the middle of a desert that's living off the food from an oasis. Tell me what their average income is, and to tell me, you know, it just doesn't make sense. There's something missing in here somewhere.
Yeah, Kelsey, did you have anything to say about how, like, you know, because viruses and disease, it just doesn't come from anywhere. I mean, if you look around into the world now with the real, we're losing air, we're losing real water. There's so many fake foods and GMO foods. This is what causes sickness. And, you know, as you fill your body with toxins like vaccines, I mean, these things end up happening and then, you know, some kind of a virus will be innate in your body or eat away at you or whatever. You'll get sick. Your immune system will be down. But there's also like a bigger picture, like you just said, Bob, and I'm pretty sure Kelsey, you have an idea of like, or I remember you sharing something and they close off this bridge there and it's like, you know, what are they doing? And then all of a sudden there's some kind of outbreak happening. It's like, it's basically like, you know, what they're spraying in the skies is like making people sick. Like, we don't just get sick magically. It just doesn't happen. Like, if we were eating healthy and we had real water and real air and real food to eat, we wouldn't need vaccines. And then let alone we're so advanced these days that, you know, learning the prevention of spreading disease, we're not incapable of.
Yeah, hi, this is Kelsey. We're in LA right now, everybody, so we're on our way to the Conscious Life Expo, and we're going to share the new you with some people here. There's probably at least 50 different vendors and people promoting their products. Oh, 200 vendors, people promoting their products health-wise. It's been going on for maybe 18 years, quite a while at this LAX. We came last year and we promoted Rebazaar and shared some of the kids' books, the Rebazaar Duva book, the colored books. So we're gonna walk around and give out some flyers that simply explain how to sing the new you and see if anyone wants to meet the real universal guides or become more aware on the real side, because that's where you can start to connect with these children as an example that have been damaged by the vaccines. You can go talk to your children on the real side and see if you can figure out something to assist them here in the physical with what they're going through, or just see how they're doing and talk with them. And we were on the Skype call, worldwide Skype call today. It's Sunday at 10 a.m. We do this every other week, and this is with the United Kingdom group, and other people around the world join as well. And one of the people on our show explained how she had just stopped taking some pharmaceuticals, some kind of medication, and then her real side experiences opened up, and so now she can decide if she's going to keep taking the medication or not or whatever. But the same thing can happen with the vaccines, is that those vaccines can cut off certain experiences or communications because of that intent that's put in them. There's black goo in the vaccines. There's like programmed nanotechnology. There's a lot of things that aren't even said in there, and they're just created by the controllers and the reptilians. I mean, pharmaceuticals, it's all by the Rockefellers. They're all with the queen. So, you know, the Native Americans, they were fined and they left whenever they did. Val knows more about the Native Americans than the Luther Standing Bear in their books, but the real cure for all is each person's real awareness. And yeah, I see this stuff happening on Facebook with the vaccines, and it's just getting worse. They're just doing more and more children are dying, and it's not getting any better. So yeah, we're here for people when they want to step up and decide to see more and get past all this stuff in creation and focus on something that doesn't make sense with the natural environment and supporting it with the new homeschool and our projects, planting fruit trees, moving towards something that makes sense and paying attention, going outside, looking in the sky. There's chemtrails. We're getting poisoned here, so people can become more aware and stop agreeing to all the poisons and the governments and the controlling factors, and just
move into their own position and start their own self-sufficient communities, or just in their own house with a few people, like some of us are doing here in Huntington Beach. We're all supporting each other and we're paying attention. So, yeah, it's up to each individual to do whatever it is. So we're heading into the Hilton now. If there's anything else from us, we'll be here. We're on standby. Thanks for doing the show.
Hey, Kelsey, I have a question.
Hi. Hi, Bob. We're all here.
If you're going to the Conscious Life Expo, a lot of times they have a guest speaker. His name is Eric Polterak, and he was a prodigy student under Zechariah Sitchin, and I've been trying for over a year to get a hold of him, and if you run across him, would you get his contact information? Because I want to interview him on one of my shows.
And his name is Eric what?
Eric Polterak, P-O-L-T-E-R-A-K, or something like that. And he talks about the ancient scrolls of the reptilians. He talks about Enki and Enlil and the Orion Queen and all that stuff. He's the one that worked with Zechariah Sitchin translating all those clay tablets.
Okay, well, look, we're probably just going to go on the first floor, and the speakers might be on the second floor, but we'll look for Eric Poltergeist or whatever. Thank you.
Well, even if he isn't there, maybe the people in the convention could tell you how to contact him, because he's been a guest speaker many times there before.
Okay, well, our friend Keith Ranch is going to be here, too. He was on a few of our radio shows, and he was there starting the Coast to Coast. So we'll see. He might know who he is, too. And he was down there at Area 51 and all that.
Fantastic, fantastic. All right. Thank you, Kelsey. And, Mary, I don't know what happened to Santos. Sandy's here, and she's kind of wanting to wind things down. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before you close the show for the day?
No, I was just going to see if anybody wanted to add anything. It's unfortunate that Santos didn't show up. He has a lot to teach and to reference, real knowledge, real education here in creation. I'm sure I'm healer from him. He doesn't take me as someone who just sets up things and doesn't show up. So hopefully maybe I'll just be able to follow up with maybe a Skype call with him or something like that, and then I can just add it to the bottom of this or wherever we posted it. But no, if you guys just want to sing the new you, thanks always for showing up and being real and being now and sharing something wonderful with everyone.
Okay,
hello.
Well,
this is Claudia.
Oh, go ahead. Claudia,
I just wanted,
go ahead.
Just wanted to say thank you for a lovely show. It was most informative. I learned a lot. I'm one of the older new kids, and my only part that I wanted to share was that, yes, there are reptilians running our planet, and we are being subjected to so much misinformation and disinformation and being forced into certain kinds of medical practices that is not in our best interest. So parents who have the courage and are brave enough to step forward or step up or stand out for their children, their families, to me it takes great courage to do that. And to all of them, I thank them for doing that. And to you guys for presenting this information. It is vital to our present condition and that we may survive as a race on this planet. The reptilians have been here for thousands of years because they live thousands of years. They can be in any epoch of history that we have on this planet. They could have been with the pharaohs or with Buddha or Quetzalcoatl, and it'll be the same reptilian. They're just in a different disguise. So they can make us believe things that we normally wouldn't choose to do, do things. And, of course, we're put into enforced slavery by having to work for our food and shelter, and now we're trying to survive as a race. So don't give up, folks. Keep going. It's all the best. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Claudia. You are so wonderful when you share that with everybody. And I'm speaking for Sandy, Mary, because Sandy has lost her voice today and can't really say anything. So I want to thank you, Mary, for such a fantastic job that you're doing. And I really, really would love to talk to Santos and ask him questions. So if you can... if you can get them back, I'm sure that, you know, sometimes, you know, the reptilians keep this information from being made available to the world, and I'm sure they have a big part of him not being able to be on the show today. I've had that happen to me also on my show where my guest speaker didn't come, so I know what you're going through. But if there's a chance down the road of getting him on, I'd just love to hear from him and ask him all these questions, that, you know, and I know you have a bunch of questions, and I'm sure everybody else does too. So you've got a wonderful program going, Mary, and thank you so much. So everybody, does everybody want to do the new you all at once? And we'll end the show with a new you.
Okay, and just you can visit us at newhomeschool.club. And you can find me on Facebook or Kelsey Lynn Brown, Henry Draper, Sandy Stelling, Eric Oak. If you want to learn more about the homeschool and your real side visions and what the new sound is. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, thank you. So everybody all together, we'll do the new you together. All right, thank you, everybody, and that ends the show for today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gracias.